This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي، آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, today we will begin with the name of Allah, Ar-Raziq and Ar-Razzaq. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Raziq and Ar-Razzaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider, the ultimate provider. We see that the name Ar-Raziq is not directly mentioned. It is mentioned in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Khayrul Raziqeen, the best of those who provide. But the name Ar-Razzaq is mentioned once in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ, that indeed it is Allah who is the continual provider, the firm possessor of strength. So الرَّزَّاق is the one who continuously provides his servants. We see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمُسَعِرُ الْقَابِضُ الْبَاسِطُ الْرَازِقُ الْبَاسِطُ الْرَازِقُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-musa'ir, al-qabid, al-basit, and he is also al-raziq, meaning the one who provides. Now, when we look at these names, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider, he is the giver of rizq, what does that mean? What exactly is rizq? What exactly is provision? So remember that rizq is basically something by which a person benefits. It is something by which a creature profits or gains some kind of benefit. So it is also said that rizq is actually, a good share of something, like a health, meaning a good share of something. So also rizq is something that the creatures continuously receive by a result of which, they grow and they are able to support themselves. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Razzaq, al-Raziq, it means that all sustenance and all provision comes from Him, Azza wa Jal. All different types of provision also come from Him, the Exalted. Now, when we think about provision, we should not just think about material things or, worldly benefits. Remember that rizq is actually of two kinds. The provision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives is of two kinds. What are they? The first kind is rizq, which is apparent, which is lahir. Why? Because it is tangible. It is visible to us. It is material. And this is rizq for the body. For example, good food, you know, good clothing, your money, the house that you live in, etc. You know, these are tangible, apparent, visible, very manifest blessings. And then we have rizq, which is unapparent, rizq, which is intangible, meaning it is not, you know, that visible. Why? Because it doesn't have a physical form, but it is certainly something by which a person benefits. Like, for example, the love that you receive from certain individuals, the support, the friendship that you have with people. Even knowledge is a form of rizq. You know, iman, the ability to do righteous things, the ability to accomplish, you know, certain goals. All of these are actually different forms of rizq. So when you think about provision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives His servants, don't just think about, you know, the tangible things, like, for example, you know, your computer, or for example, your good health, or, you know, life and your body, etc. Rizq includes the hidden things as well, the intangible things as well, things that are not that manifest. So, for example, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, He mentions the different blessings that He has bestowed upon His servants, both which are, you know, visible, and also those which are, you know, invisible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to count and enumerate the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, you would never be able to do that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Raziq, meaning the one who provides, and Ar-Razzaq. Ar-Razzaq has hyperbole in it. So Ar-Razzaq is one who continuously provides, and the one who has created and bestowed a great number of provisions. So Ar-Razzaq is the one who provides every single creature, and He has allotted for every creature its rizq. So He has decreed for every creature what it is going to receive. So remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Raziq, Ar-Razzaq, first of all, that means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of all Ar-Razzaq, meaning all forms of sustenance. And now just consider the varieties and the great quantities of all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created as sustenance for His creatures. Subhanallah, you know, when you're eating a salad even, just think about, you know, the different types of vegetables and fruits that you put in your salad. Sometimes, you know, the nuts and the seeds, and then think about the dressing and then the seasoning. Subhanallah, you know, in one meal, so many different forms and types of rizq. And then consider the quantity. And then you don't just get one meal or one salad bowl per life. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Razzaq, meaning He gives continuously over and over again. And He doesn't just provide one creature, but He provides all creatures. So we learn in the Quran, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no creature on earth, no living, moving creature on earth, except that it is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning it is His, it is a responsibility that Allah has taken upon Himself to provide each creature. So there is no creature that receives provision except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it that provision. And then remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Razzaq, this also means that He has decreed for each creature its provision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Dhariyat that وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ, that in the sky is your provision and that which you have been promised. And what that means is that your provision, your sustenance comes from up above. And this can mean that, you know, for example, when rain falls, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends rain, then that is what causes, you know, your food to grow. And this can also mean that what you get on earth comes from up above, meaning its decree comes from up above, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot receive anything unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to you. In a hadith, we learn that Allah has divided between you your character just as he had divided or distributed among you your provisions. So, كما قسم بينكم أرزاقكم, that he has divided or distributed amongst you your provisions. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is الرازق, الرزاق, يعني this only shows us how vast his treasures are and how perfect his ability is and how generous he the exalted is. يعني if you have, you know, for example, guests to host, right, in your own house, and you think about, okay, how much food you have to prepare for them, how much food you have to purchase for them, and then, you know, their stay is long, you start thinking about, how am I going to afford this, or this is becoming too expensive. And we become stingy with ourselves, we become stingy with our children, we become stingy with our dependents, we become stingy with our guests at times, with our friends at times, because we are in need of sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hayyul qayyum, he is al-ghani, and he does not need any sustenance. So he is the creator of sustenance and the giver of sustenance to all of his creatures. In a hadith, we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O my servants, if the first of you and the last of you and the men among you and the jinn among you, meaning all of the creatures, if all of you were to stand in one place and were to ask me, and I were to give every individual what he has asked for, that would not reduce what is with me of my treasures, except what a needle reduces in the ocean when it is dipped into it and taken out. Meaning, how much water can a needle extract from the ocean? Hardly anything. It makes no difference. And just like that, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to fulfill the desires of every single creature, that would not diminish his treasures. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-raziq, al-razzaq, and his treasures are unlimited. His khaza'in, his treasures are endless. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّهُ. None knows the troops of your Lord except he the exalted, meaning only he knows how much he owns. We have no idea. Then we see that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he is al-razzaq, this shows us that he gives to all. So we learn in the Quran, in Surah Ash-Shura, ayah 19, Allah says, Allahu latifun bi'ibadi yaruzuqu man yasha, that Allah is kind towards his slaves, and he provides whomsoever that he wills. And this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides with his wisdom, and all power is with him. So all rizq is with him. So whether it is tangible sustenance or intangible sustenance, its source and its giver and its controller is who? Allah the Exalted. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives rizq to his servants, to his slaves, even though his slaves disobey him and sin and say the most atrocious things about him. In a hadith, we learn that there is no one more patient than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over, some annoyance or wrong things that he hears. You know, for example, if someone were to say wrong things about you, you would become impatient. And in that impatience, you would become angry and you would become vengeful, or you would try to withhold, a favor that you are giving. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely patient. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يَدْعُونَ لَهُ الْوَلَدِ, that they say that Allah has a child. ثُمَّ يُعَافِيهِمْ وَيَرْزُقُهُمْ, yet he gives them well-being and he provides them. And he provides sustenance to his creatures, even though his creatures disobey him and say the most wrong things about him. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-raziq, al-razzaq, this means that, and when he gives with his wisdom, he knows what to give to who and when. So we learn in Surah Al-Isra that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرًا بَصِيرًا, that indeed your Lord is the one who extends provision for whom he wills, and he constricts it. meaning he is the one who gives amply, and at times to some people, he restricts that provision. And if you see this in your life also, there is fluctuation. There were times when you had a lot and there were times when you had very little. And he changes the condition of his servants, right? And then there are some to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a lot to. And then there are others to whom he gives very little to. This is not random distribution. This is not a random decision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرًا بَصِيرًا. That indeed he is ever of his slaves aware and seeing. Meaning he is fully aware of his servants, so he knows what to give, to who, how much, at what time. And he observes his servants, meaning what they do with what they receive is also known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Raziq and Ar-Razzaq. When we see the name Ar-Razzaq in the Quran, in Surah Al-Dhariyat, we see that it is mentioned with Dhul Quwwatil Mateen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the liberal or the continuous provider who is Dhul Quwwa, who is the firm possessor of strength, Dhul Quwwatil Mateen. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider, and he's also very powerful, because it is only the one who is extremely powerful who can provide others, who can give sustenance to others. You see, when someone depends on you, then this is something that requires from you that you exert yourself, and that over time drains you and exhausts you. You know, for example, if you have to look after a baby, this is something that is physically very demanding, emotionally very demanding. And if you think about how, for example, a premature baby, subhanAllah, if you've ever seen a premature baby in the hospital hooked up to so many things, you know, there's the oxygen and there's the food and there's so many things attached to the tiny body. Why? Just to keep that body alive. SubhanAllah, just to, help that body grow. Imagine how much Allah gives to His servants. Providing sustenance is not easy. Fulfilling the needs of your dependents is not easy. This is something that exhausts us. But it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is Dhul Quwwatil Mateen, who is Ar-Razzaq, who is the continual provider, the provider of all of His servants. So when Allah is Ar-Razzaq, Ar-Raziq, what is it that we should do? What is our duty? How is it that we should be with Allah the Exalted? First of all, we should remember, we should believe that sustenance comes from Allah and only Allah. Meaning all sustenance is in His control, His hand, His power. It is He who gives, it is He who withholds. In Surah Fatir, Ayah 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ هَلْ مِنْ خَالِقٍ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That, O mankind, remember the blessing of Allah upon you. Is there any creator other than Allah who provides you from the sky and the earth? Meaning, is there anyone else who provides you? Who provides you? It is the one who created you. And He gives you provision from above and from below. Yani, He is the one who gives you what you have, what you need. In Surah Saba, Ayah 24, Allah says, قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Ask the people that who is it that provides you sustenance from the skies and from the earth? قُلِ اللَّهِ. Tell them it is Allah. Meaning it is only Allah who gives you provision. In Surah An-Nahl, Ayah 73, Allah says, وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَمْلِكُ لَهُمْ رِزْقًا مِنَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ شَيْئًا. That they worship besides Allah that which does not have the power to give them anything from the skies or the earth. Why? Because all rizq is with Allah. It is He who gives. In Surah Al-Mulk, Ayah 21, أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقًا. Who is it that could provide you if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds His provision, His sustenance? Meaning if Allah decides to not give you, who could bring you provision? Who could bring you sustenance? So we should believe that Allah is the provider. All sustenance comes from Him, and He is the one who controls it. So no one can give you sustenance if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to withhold it. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Raziq, this means that we should trust Him. We should believe Him that, you know, if He has decided to give me something, then alhamdulillah. And if He has decided to not give me something, then again, alhamdulillah. And if I want something, then it is only Allah who can give. So yes, I do my part to get what I need, because that is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has required of me, that I should use the means, the abilities that Allah has given me to earn, to get sustenance. But then my reliance, my dependence should only be on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not on my strength, not on my ability, not on my education or my job or my business, because all of these are only means. They're only avenues through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. They're not the source of our provision. So in a hadith, we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you were to trust, place your trust in Allah the way that you should place your trust in Him, then He would provide you as He provides the birds. That the birds, they go in the morning, they wake up in the morning with empty stomachs. But then by the end of the day, they have full bellies. And this is amazing how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentioned the birds, because birds travel, so far and wide. They migrate. They fly over, such vast areas. And these birds, subhanAllah, tiny bodies. And how is it that they find their food? It's amazing how sometimes you see a bird just, sitting on a fence, and you wonder, what is this bird doing here? And how that tiny bird with those tiny eyes is able to see a bug, or a grub somewhere on the ground, and it just comes and swiftly takes it away. Amazing. So who is it that provides all creatures? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So put your trust in Him. When you see how an ant finds a crumb that you dropped, and it comes and finds its provision. When a bee, goes from one flower to another visiting hundreds of flowers in a day, collecting nectar from so many places, then if Allah provides all of these creatures, He can surely provide you and I. He can surely give me what I am in need of. So put your trust in Him. Our problem is that we begin to put our trust in ourselves and on the people that we see. So we begin to expect from people. And when they don't give us, we get disappointed. We get angry. And when we depend on ourselves, we become really proud. And then what happens is that we fall into despair. So our effort, of course, needs to be where it needs to be. Birds don't just stay in their nests, right? They fly. They go around. They go to so many different places to seek their provision. So the provision is there. Sustenance is there. We have to put in our effort, and we have to put our trust in Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me what I need, that He will make me reach the place, the people, the sources where my needs will be fulfilled, inshallah. So put your trust in Allah and expect the best from Him. Thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Raziq, al-Razzaq, this means that we should rely upon Him for sustenance. And this means that we should be befriend the provider. Yani, you cannot get provision by upsetting the one who gives provision. So we learn in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Talaq, ayah 2 and 3, that وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. That whoever fears Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create an exit for him. An exit from where? From, his trouble. and Allah will provide him from where he cannot even imagine. So if you want sustenance, then you have to seek it from Allah. And don't try to seek it by displeasing Allah, by doing wrong things. So seek rizq correctly. Seek provision in the right way. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. Meaning, O people, fear Allah and adopt beautiful ways, the correct ways, in seeking sustenance. Why? Because what is written for you will certainly reach you. Your test is in what you do in order to seek the provision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you. So, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. Use beautiful ways, correct ways, in order to seek sustenance. And when Allah is الرَّازِق, this means that we should ask Him for sustenance. وَارْزُقْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. That, O Allah, You provide us, and You are the best of those who provide. Now, what are the ways through which we can seek sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In different, ahadith and verses of the Quran, we learn about beautiful ways through which we can seek sustenance from Allah. Yani, one obvious way of seeking sustenance is that we, do what is within our capacity. Like, for example, you want money, you go find a job, right? You work so that you get paid. Right? This is very obvious. But remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us tangible ways and also intangible ways. Tangible ways to seek provision. For example, you drive to the store, buy food, and you can eat it. But then it's not just, tangible ways. There's also intangible ways, immaterial ways through which we can seek sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what are those ways? I'm going to mention 12. The first is istighfar and tawbah, seeking forgiveness and repenting to Allah the Exalted from sins. Why? Because in the Quran we learn in Surah Nuh that Nuh alayhi salam said to his people, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. That Nuh alayhi salam said that I said to my people, that seek forgiveness from your Lord. Indeed, He is the perpetual forgiver. And when you will seek forgiveness from Him, what's going to happen? يُرُسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. He will send the sky, meaning the rain, upon you generously, meaning there will be abundant rain on you. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And He will reinforce you with wealth and with children, meaning He will give you money, and He will also give you children. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. And He will make for you gardens. Because you can have land, but if nothing grows on it, what good is it? So He will make for you gardens. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And He will make for you rivers. So istighfar and tawbah are a way of seeking sustenance from Allah. Now think about it. You may have, certain desires, certain wishes that, I want this degree, or I want to be able to memorize the Quran. I want to be able to, understand this particular concept. I want knowledge of this matter. I want to write, a book. Whatever goal you have, whatever it is that you want for yourself, whether it is something material or immaterial, because remember we discussed earlier that rizq is not just tangible, it is also intangible. So any form of sustenance that you want, you have these wishes, right? You're making dua, but along with dua and along with your effort, you also need to seek forgiveness from Allah. You also need to make tawbah. That, oh Allah, I seek forgiveness from You. Ya Allah, You forgive me. I admit my sins. I admit my mistakes. I repent to You from all of my sins. Ya Allah, forgive me. When you increase in istighfar, then the doors of rizq also open up for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you generously. Secondly, use the early morning. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for his ummah, that Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha, that oh Allah, bless my ummah in its mornings, in its early mornings. Meaning, when you will do something in the early morning, then you will have blessing in it. And imagine if you are trying to study something at that time, or you're trying to write something at that time, or you work on your business, etc. You work in the morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you in your sustenance. You seek sustenance at that time through your effort, through your work, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you in it. And you will notice how birds even, when is it that they go finding food for themselves? They go in the morning. At Fajr time, what is it that you hear? It's the chirping of the birds. In the early morning, you see birds flying here to there, you know, searching for food. And what is it that we are doing? We are usually just sleeping or lazing around or still getting ready or still on our phones, not really starting our work. So use the morning, even if it's just an hour or two. But what you can gain in the morning, you cannot gain in the afternoon. You cannot gain in the evening. So use the early morning. Thirdly, taqwa of Allah, meaning in your life, observe more and more consciousness of Allah. Be more aware and mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That what I'm saying, what I'm doing, what I'm listening to, what I'm looking at is known to Allah. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approve of it? If He doesn't, I should leave this. I shouldn't be saying this. I shouldn't be watching this. I should not be looking at this. I should not be here. I should not be doing this. So when you leave something out of the fear of Allah, when you do something out of the fear of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I mentioned this earlier, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. That whoever fears Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates an exit for him from his trouble, and He provides him sustenance from where he cannot even imagine. Fourthly, when it comes to seeking provision, then another key of seeking provision is number four, avoid sin. Leave sin. Yani there are certain bad habits that we develop over time. And these are habits that we need to leave. And sin, yes, it is difficult to avoid at times, but then when you put in the effort to stay away from sin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also strengthens you. In a hadith, we learn that a servant is deprived of provision because of his sin. Yani the servant is yuhramu. He is deprived of provision because of a sin that he is committing. So in order to seek provision from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the means that we can adopt is that we avoid sin. We leave sin. Number five, tawakkul ala Allah. Yani put your trust in Allah. Don't be impatient. Don't get upset that, I've been trying for so long, to earn my degree. I've been working so hard on my business. I'm doing my best to, do my job properly. I'm searching for work. I've applied at so many different places. When it comes to marriage, even people think, that I've been trying for so many years, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not giving me, right? So this despair is not correct. No, put your trust in Allah that, Allah gives to His creatures. He is the source of provision. He has given to so many people. He gives every single day, every single moment. He can also give me, and He will give me. And if He is not giving me right now, then there's a reason behind that. So put your trust in Allah, because وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever puts his trust in Allah, then Allah is sufficient for him. Number six, increase in your worship. And worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly to the best of your ability in the most excellent way. Sometimes we're too focused on what we're not getting, and we don't pay enough attention to what we are supposed to be doing. When it comes to our salah, we're distracted, or salah is delayed, Sometimes it's, you know, not prayed at all. Astaghfirullah. Yani, these kind of habits we need to fix. When it comes to the recitation of the Quran, again, we are negligent. When it comes to the dhikr of Allah, again, we are negligent. So improve your worship and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your rizq. He will give you what you are in need of. In a hadith, we learned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah the Exalted said that, O son of Adam, tafarrag li ibadati amla'u qalbaka ghinan. That, O son of Adam, make time for my worship and I will fill your heart with contentment, wa asuddu faqrak, and I will remove your poverty. Allahu Akbar. You make time to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You make ibadah a priority. And what's going to happen? Allah will remove your poverty. He will take care of your affairs. Number 7, make Hajj and Umrah. Now, a person might say, well, Hajj and Umrah is very expensive. If you think about it, you have to save money for some time in order to, go for Hajj, in order to go for Umrah. And if you spend all of that on Hajj and Umrah, then you're kind of losing provision. You're not really gaining provision. But it actually works the other way around. When you go for Hajj and Umrah consecutively, then you actually increase in your provision. In a hadith, we learned the Prophet ﷺ said that perform Hajj and Umrah consecutively because they remove poverty and sins just as the bellows remove impurity from iron. Meaning when you put iron in a furnace, then that is how it is purified. And just like that, when you go for Hajj and Umrah consecutively, then your poverty and your sins are removed from you. They're taken away from you. So if you want to have more provision, then think about, make the intention of going for Hajj, going for Umrah consecutively, repeatedly. You know, it's amazing. Whenever we have a little bit of money, we think about where we can travel to next. And when it comes to travel, Hajj and Umrah should be our priority. Number 9, spend on seekers of knowledge. When you spend on people who are seeking sacred knowledge, religious knowledge, then because of that, perhaps you will also be given rizq by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn of a hadith in which we see that there were two brothers at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of the brothers, he would spend a lot of time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to learn from him, etc. And the other brother would go and make money. So the brother who would go and make money, he once complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that my brother is always here, he's busy learning and doing good things. Please tell him that he should also help me, and he should also earn money. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that la'allaka turzaqu bi, that perhaps you are given sustenance because of your brother, meaning perhaps you are given provision because of the fact that your brother is learning religious knowledge. So when you spend on people who are seeking knowledge, then because of that, you also increase in your sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you sustenance. So spend on seekers of knowledge. Number 10, silatul rahim, meaning joining ties with relatives and being good to your relatives. This is also something that that brings provision to a person. In a hadith, we learned that whoever wants, whoever likes, whoever is pleased with the idea that his provision is expanded for him and his life term is also expanded for him, then he should فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَهُ, then he should join ties of kinship. And being good to relatives includes spending on relatives. It includes being on good terms with them. It includes being good to them when they are back to you. When they treat you harshly, you're still generous with them. You still keep in touch with them. So this is something that brings provision from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 11, honor the weak among you. When it comes to people who have, for example, a disability or a health issue, or for example, they're not people of status and people of knowledge and people of money. You know, weakness can be because of different reasons. So there are people who are well respected within a community, and then there are people who are basically unknown, or you know, nobody really cares about them, or people don't really pay much attention to them. But when you honor the weak among you, then because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you in your sustenance. We learn in a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, هَلْ تُنصَرُونَ وَتُرْزَقُونَ إِلَّا بِضُعَفَائِكُمْ. Are you given help by Allah the Exalted? Are you given help and victory? And are you given sustenance except because of the weak among you? Meaning it is because of the presence of the weak among you and their prayers and their hope and dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their du'as that they are provided and you are also provided by virtue of them, because they are present among you. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy on them, that mercy also reaches you. So never think that you are the one who is benefiting the weak. No, it is you who are being benefited because of the weak among you. So you know, sometimes if there are certain individuals in your family who may not be very smart, or who are constantly, you know, asking for help, who are, constantly asking, for different forms of aid, whether it is financial or it is, in their work or it is in terms of, you know, schoolwork, etc. You sort of feel tired of them. That why are they always asking me, right? You get sort of frustrated that, you know what, I want to be free of them. But we learn from this hadith that when you honor the weak, and when you help them, then because of that, you are given provision. And number 12 is hijra. Hijra literally means migration, meaning you leave the place where you're not able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to go to a place where you are able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hijra, it doesn't just mean that you migrate from one country to another. Hijra also means leaving sin, or leaving places of sin, or leaving a company that encourages you to sin. So for example, if you hang out with certain individuals who are always going to a shisha bar or something like that, right? You are constantly invited over there. And when you're in that atmosphere, when you're in that environment, then you hear things, you say things, you witness things that are not always appropriate. You're not gonna, you know, you're drifting away from the masjid, right? You are drifting towards the wrong company. So when you make that conscious decision that no, I'm not gonna go to that place ever again, I'm not going to do this thing ever again, then this is also a form of hijrah. So when you leave something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in the Quran we learn, وَمَنْ يُهَاجِرْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَجِدْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُرَاغَمًا كَثِيرًا وَسَعَةً. That whoever migrates in the way of Allah, then he will find in the earth ample provision and vastness, a lot of gain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not leave this person empty-handed without anything. Allah will certainly give this servant what he needs. So these are some keys to provision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-raziq, he is ar-razzaq, and he gives his servants, and it is our responsibility to seek the means through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide us. Now, what are some du'as that we can make that mention these names, or at least the sifa of the attribute that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider? There's many du'as. First of all, whenever a person would embrace Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would teach him a du'a, and this du'a is very comprehensive. What is this dua? This dua is Allahumma ghfirli warhamni wahdini warzuqni. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for four things. Allahumma, O Allah, ighfirli, forgive me. Warhamni, have mercy on me. Wahdini, guide me. Warzuqni, provide me. So whenever a person would embrace Islam, the Prophet ﷺ would teach him this dua. Very easy dua. And a very comprehensive dua. That, O Allah, forgive me. Forgive me for what? For all of my sins. And I have made many mistakes. And I continue to make mistakes. So, Ya Allah, you keep forgiving me. Warhamni, have mercy on me. When I'm in trouble, when I'm in need, when I'm in difficulty. Ya Allah, you have mercy on me. You uplift me. Wahdini, you guide me. That whenever I am lost and I don't know what to do and I am making a mistake, you guide me. Warzuqni, you provide me sustenance, tangible and intangible, of this world and of the hereafter. And then we see another dua in which we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a certain type of rizq, and that rizq is knowledge. We learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, Allahumma anfa'ni bima 'allamtani wa'allimni ma yanfa'uni warzuqni 'ilman yanfa'uni. That, O Allah, benefit me by that which you have taught me and teach me that which will benefit me. Warzuqni, and provide me with knowledge that will benefit me. And if you think about it, there's so much information, so much knowledge out there. Yani, right now, even at this moment, there's so many things that you could be doing. Yani, if you're on the internet, you could be reading a blog post. You could be, you know, listening to one live or another live or a previous recording or, you know, a podcast. Yani, there's so much knowledge out there, so much information out there that you have access to 24 hours, basically. But we don't always benefit from what we read, from what we listen to. You know, we hear and we forget. We read and we forget, right? When it comes to our money also, we don't always benefit from it. You go purchase something and then it's just sitting. You're not able to use it, right? So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just for knowledge, that, oh Allah, give me knowledge, but also ask for the ability to benefit from knowledge. And especially, warzuqni ilman yanfa'uni. Oh Allah, you give me, you provide me with knowledge that will truly benefit me. Provide me with information, with understanding that will truly benefit me. And when is it that knowledge becomes beneficial? When it becomes practical. Meaning when a person understands how to practice it. And then they don't just understand how to practice it, they remember it at the right time, when they need to practice it. And then they don't just think about it, they actually end up doing it. They actually end up practicing that knowledge. So, warzuqni ilman yanfa'uni. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sustenance. Sustenance that is lawful. Sustenance that is tayyib, that is good, that is clean, that is beneficial. And sustenance that is not just tangible, but also intangible, that will benefit us in this life and also benefit us in the next life. And any need that we have, whether it is material or immaterial, in terms of love, relationships, because the Prophet ﷺ described the love of Khadija radiallahu anha as rizq, right? That inni qad ruziqtu hubbaha, that I was given the rizq of her love. You know, the fact that he loved her, he had love for her, that itself was sustenance. And the fact that he received love from her was also sustenance. So any type of sustenance that we feel we are in need of, remember, Allah is able to give it. So seek provision and sustenance from Ar-Raziq, Ar-Razzaq, Azza wa Jal. The next name of Allah that we will be looking at is the name Al-Muqit. Al-Muqit also means provider, or it means keeper, protector, preserver. And this name is mentioned once in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقِيتًا. That Allah is over all things a keeper. He is muqit over all things. Now, when we look at the name muqit, muqit is, it means one who gives qut. Okay? The one who gives qut. And what is qut? Qut is basically food that is sufficient to sustain life. Okay? Food that is sufficient to sustain life. Meaning food that is just enough to keep the body alive and to allow the body to grow and for the body to be nourished. So this is qut. And basically, qut is what a creature, what a living creature cannot survive without. Meaning there's a certain amount of food and water, for example, that we as human beings need. If we don't get it, then we won't be able to stay alive. Then we would starve and we would eventually die. And qut, what our body needs to survive is not just food and water, right? It's a certain type of food and water. You see, there are many things that are in the world, but everything is not necessarily food for you, right? There could be something that is perfectly fine for a certain creature, for an animal, but it would be poisonous for you, right? Or it could be perfectly fine for another human being, but because you're allergic to it, it could actually kill you, right? Like, for example, nuts, filled with, good things, right? But when it comes to individuals who are allergic to nuts, and if they eat even a tiny amount, it could kill them. So qut is what a creature cannot survive without, what a creature needs in order to live, in order to be nourished. And this is why qut specifically refers to food or nutrition. And it also also means a very little quantity, okay? Because you don't need a lot to survive. You need just enough to live, right? To be alive. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-muqit, what does that mean? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-muqit, it means that He is the sustainer of all that exists, right? And when He is the sustainer of all that exists, it means that He is the creator of the means by which everything lives. So for example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not, if He did not create oxygen, if He did not provide us with water, then we wouldn't be able to live, right? So in the Quran, we learn in Surah Fussilat, ayah 10, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the earth, وَقَدَّرَ فِيهَا أَقْوَاتَهَا, that He determined or He distributed in the earth its aqwat, meaning its provisions. So in different parts of the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed provision. And that provision, that sustenance, that food, it varies from place to place. But in every part of the world, there is what the creatures of that place need to survive. So for example, even in the most barren of deserts, right, the creatures that live there find sustenance over there. Like you would think that nothing could survive in this heat or in the extreme cold. Even you would think that nothing could survive here, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the qut to the creatures that the creatures need. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-muqit, meaning He is the sustainer of all that exists, and He is the creator of the means by which everything lives. And then this also means when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-muqit, that He is the possessor of power. He is al-muqtadir. So al-muqit means al-muqtadir, meaning the one who is all-able, all-powerful, because it is only the one who is all-able who can give each creature what it needs to survive. Because if he was not able, He would not be able to give them. And if He would not be able to give them, this means that they would not be able to survive. So if there is life, if there are creatures, anywhere on earth. If there is life, what does that mean? That means that there is a perfectly able, perfectly competent provider who is constantly giving them what they need in order to survive. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-muqit, meaning He is the possessor of power. So every creature depends on Him. And if He did not provide them, they would not survive. And then al-muqit also means that He is the hafiz, meaning He is the preserver, the protector, the keeper of His creatures. Because he is the one who gives them qut so that they can live. So by giving them qut, He is preserving them. He is protecting them. He is keeping them alive. He is their guardian, right? So if they are alive, it means that He has given them that life. He has given them the sustenance that they need. And this is because He is aware of everything, right? He's acquainted with everything. So every creature needs, protection. It needs food and, the unique things that it needs for survival. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has given every creature what it needs. Again, reflect over the different needs of each creature, the different types of qut that they need, right? At different times of day, night, year, right? And He's the one who is constantly giving. So in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 85, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ يَشْفَعَ شَفَاعَةً سَيِّئَةً يَكُلْ لَهُ كِفْلٌ مِّنْهَا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقِيتًا. That whoever makes an intercession that is bad. First, the good intercession is mentioned, and then the bad intercession, meaning you advocate for someone for a bad cause. Then for a good cause or a bad cause, then what will happen? You will have a portion of that. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقِيتًا. And Allah is over all things a keeper, meaning everything depends on Him. Don't think that people rely on your advocacy, that you need to speak for them and you need to intercede for them. You need to, they depend on you. No, you are only a means. You are only a means. And you must do your part. You must advocate for those who are in need. You must speak up for those who are being oppressed. But never be too proud of yourself that, you know what, they need me and they depend on me. No, they don't. They depend on Allah, because وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقِيتًا. He is the one who keeps His creatures alive and He gives them what they are in need of. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-muqit, it means that He is the giver of worldly and spiritual sustenance. That He doesn't just give His creatures food and water and air, right, and shelter, but He also gives them what they need for their eternal abode, and that is iman, right? So He is the giver of worldly and spiritual sustenance. When it comes to du'as by this name, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this dua, that Allahumma ja'al rizqa ali Muhammadin quta. That, O Allah, make the provision of the family of Muhammad sufficient for them. Make their provision qut for them. And what this means is that, first of all, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed for his family. Now, when you realize that there are people who depend on you, then of course you worry for them. Right, you worry for your children, you worry for your grandchildren, you worry not just for their food, but you worry for their home, where are they going to live, you worry for their education, how are they going to be able to afford it, you worry for their their independence, you worry for their rights, you worry for their welfare, you worry for their health, you have these concerns. So we see from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he made dua to Allah. So when we make dua, don't just make dua for yourself, make dua for your dependents, for the people around you. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua. And what this dua means is, first of all, that, O Allah, you give them qut, right? So that they're not in need of people. They're not in hunger, right? They're not in deprivation. They don't die from starvation, from neediness, right? You give them what they need to survive, so that they don't need to beg people and they don't have to suffer deprivation. And secondly, what this dua also means is that the Prophet ﷺ asked for qut for his family, meaning just enough to survive. Meaning he didn't ask for abundance of wealth for his family. Rather, he asked for qut, because remember, qut is also a very small quantity, because a small quantity of food is enough for a creature to survive. So he asked for qut. Why? So that their needs are fulfilled, but there isn't an abundance of worldly things, because that abundance definitely becomes a trial, right? It becomes a fitna. This doesn't mean that we should pray for poverty, that, oh Allah, make me poor. No, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rizq, but we should be content with whatever that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, because He knows what is best for us. But we should also realize that the abundance of wealth is definitely a trial. So don't ask for deprivation. Rather, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for strength, for the ability to survive this test. And we have the example of, you know, Sulaiman alayhi salam, who had so much wealth, right? So much power, and he was grateful to Allah. So there is a path of gratitude, and there is also the path of patience. That through gratitude and through patience, you can reach the same station. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you more, then definitely increase in your gratitude. And when provision is restricted for you, you have barely enough, then that is the path of patience, as well as gratitude, both. So Allahumma ja'al rizq Ali Muhammadin quta. And you could make a similar dua for your family if you feel that, you know, you people are different. Certain people, when they have an abundance of wealth, they get very, very deceived by it. They get distracted by it. They start forgetting about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They start neglecting their ibadah, their salah. So when you see that weakness, you know, for example, in certain individuals or even in yourself, that wealth is a fitna for me, then you could make a dua like that. That, oh Allah, give me enough, just enough for survival, right? Not that, don't ask for poverty, not at all. Ask for just enough, right? And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for strength. That, oh Allah, give me the ability to survive this trial, whatever that trial may be. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for contentment. That, ya Allah, whatever situation you put me in, give me contentment over your decree. The next name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will be looking at is the name Al-Mu'ti. Al-Mu'ti, the one who gives. And this name, Al-Mu'ti, is paired with the name Al-Manir. Because Al-Manir, the one who withholds or the one who prevents, and Al-Mu'ti, the one who gives, both of these names are complementary. They come together, meaning they're supposed to be understood together. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the giver, and He is also the preventer. This name, Al-Mu'ti, is mentioned only in the Sunnah, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, that whoever Allah wishes good for, He gives him the understanding of the religion. وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاسِمْ وَيُعْطِي اللَّهُ, that I am the distributor, the divider. Here, the version of hadith that I put over here mentions that Allah is the one who gives. And another version, Wallahu Mu'ti. The words are Wallahu Mu'ti, meaning Allah is the one who is the giver. Al-Mu'ti is Allah Azza wa Jal. Wallahu al-Mu'ti wa ana al-Qasim. In another version it says, Wallahu al-Mu'ti, Allah is the one who gives, and I am the one who distributes wealth among people. So who is Al-Mu'ti? Al-Mu'ti is the one who gives ata, right? And ata means a gift or to give, bestowal, all right, to give. And some say that ata is to give by way of favor only, meaning by way of sheer favor, not because, you know, you are in need of the other, or not because, you know, you're paying them for something, but you are giving them as favor, okay? This is one of the significations of the word ata, to give or to give as favor. And it also means to give generously. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mu'ti, and He is also al-mani', meaning He is the giver and He is also the preventer. So if you are given anything, who is the source of that? Allah. And if something is withheld from you, if something has been prevented from you, then who is the one who caused that? Again, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He is al-mani', al-mu'ti. And we learn in hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayta, wa la mu'tiya lima mana'ta. That, oh Allah, there is no preventer of what you give, and there is no giver of what you prevent. Meaning, if you give something, no one can prevent that. And if you decide to prevent something from someone, no one can give that. So He is the giver, He is the preventer. When it comes to al-manir, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who prevents, what does that mean? It means that He protects His servants. He yamna'u harm from them. He prevents harm from them, meaning he protects them, He saves them. Remember the incident where once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resting under a tree, and a man came and took the sword of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because it was hanging on the tree. He took that sword and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loudly that may yamna'uka minni, who can prevent you from me, meaning who can protect you from me. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah, Allah, Allah. He said that three times, that Allah is the one who can prevent me from you, meaning who can save me from the harm that you want to cause me. So Allah is al-manir, meaning He is the one who defends His servants. He is the one who protects them. And sometimes He prevents His servants from receiving certain things. So hirman, meaning he deprives them of certain things. But in that is also a favor. Allahu Akbar. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevents something from you, that is in fact another way of giving you what you need, giving you some form of benefit. So for example, if health is taken away from you, then what does that mean? You have nothing? This is a void now? No. It means that over your patients, you're receiving a whole lot of reward that you cannot even imagine. One of the companions actually made dua that, oh Allah, give me fever, but not such fever that will prevent me from praying in the masjid, and not such fever that will prevent me from going out in your way. So that companion, any time that someone touched him, his body would be warm. But along with that, he was still able to pray and he was still able to, go out in the way of Allah and do good things. But when you suffer from some kind of pain, even in your body, what does that mean? That as long as you have that pain, you are receiving reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu mentioned, the benefit of fever, that fever is experienced by the entire body, right? It's not just concentrated in your head. It's not just concentrated on your hand or on your feet. It's all over your body. So what does that mean? That means that for your entire body, you're receiving reward, right? For every limb, for every portion of your body, you are receiving its share of reward. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevents something, He takes something away from you, or He withholds something from you, then what does that mean? That He is in fact giving you something else through the means of depriving you. In another hadith, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevents His believing slave from the world, meaning He doesn't let His believing slave enjoy the world, right? Why? Just as you prevent your sick people from water. For example, when a person is unwell, right? Like for example, if your child is unwell, right? they have fever, they have, you know, a cough, for example, and they want ice cream, right? And they want a slushy, and they want, you know, something else that you know is bad for them in their condition. They could be crying, they could be yelling, they ask for it, but you still don't give it. Why? Out of love for them, because you know that it is harmful for them. And just like that, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds something from you, it is not to, the goal over here is not to harm you and to deprive you and to make you suffer. Suffering is not the goal. The goal is to give you something else in its place. And you don't know all that you're receiving. You don't realize it immediately. You sometimes, you know, realize it later on in your life, but that's not necessary. It's possible that you only realize what you have gained from your loss only on the Day of Judgment, only in the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-manir, which in a way means that He is actually giving you by withholding something from you or by preventing you from something. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-manir al-murti, this means that everything is in His hand. So He gives. And when He decides to give, no one can prevent. And when He decides to prevent, no one can give you. So ask Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fatir, ayah 2, that مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up a mercy for the people, then no one can close that. Meaning when Allah opens the gates of His mercy for people, meaning when Allah wants to give something to the people, no one can prevent that. وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds something, then no one can bring it. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-murti, this means that His bestowal is general for all. General for all, meaning His ata is am. So He gives to everybody, those whom He loves and also those whom He does not necessarily love. So in Surah Al-Isra, ayah 20, Allah says, كُلَّا نُمِدُّ هَؤُلَاءِ وَهَؤُلَاءِ. That to all we give, these and those. Meaning those who believe and also those who don't. You look to the right, if people have something, Allah has given it. You look to the left, if people have something, Allah has given it. So كُلَّا نُمِدُّ هَؤُلَاءِ وَهَؤُلَاءِ مِنْ عَطَاءِ رَبِّكَ. This is from the bestowal of your Lord. وَمَا كَانَ عَطَاءُ رَبِّكَ مَحْظُورًا. And the عَطَاء, the bestowal of your Lord is not limited. It is not restricted. That it is only given to some and not all. So in one way, His bestowal is general for all. But in another way, it is also exclusive to some. How? That there is ata khas, meaning there is a special bestowal, meaning there are special blessings that Allah gives to special servants. How? In the world, for example, there is a special ata that Allah gives to some people. And what is that? Iman, faith. The Prophet ﷺ said that وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعْطِي الدُّنْيَا مَنْ يُحِبُّ وَمَنْ لَا يُحِبُّ. That Allah يُعْطِي, He gives the world, meaning the world and its things, to those whom He loves and also those whom He does not love. وَلَا يُعْطِي الْإِيمَانَ إِلَّا مَنْ يُحِبُّ. But He does not give iman except to those whom He loves. So when it comes to worldly things, that is general for all. But when it comes to iman, that is only for the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And part of this ata khas, this exclusive or special gift, special bestowal, is that He gives halal rizq, righteous children, you know, a righteous spouse to His righteous slaves. And in the hereafter, He will give endless ata, endless bestowal to His slaves in Jannah. جَزَاءً مِنْ رَبِّكَ عَطَاءً حِسَابًا. عَطَاءً غَيْرَ مَجَذُوذٍ. A bestowal that will be uninterrupted, endless, and so much and so continuous that it will never ever end. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-murti, so He bestows in the world and also in the hereafter. And in what He withholds is also a bestowal. And then we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every creature its form. So in the Quran, in Surah Taha, ayah 50, we learn that Musa alayhi salam, He said, رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. That our Lord is the one who has given every creature its form, right? Its form. And then he has also guided it. Meaning every creature, its form has been given to it, bestowed to it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which means that your body, you know, your hands, your the different functions within your body, the different abilities within your body, you know, its form, that has been given by who? It's a gift. By who? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amazing. I remember we were in some museum, and I don't remember exactly what kind of grip was basically on display, that, you know, you use your hands, you know, the fact that you have a thumb, right? The fact that you have five fingers, you're able to do so much. And if you did not have, you know, your hand the way it is, you wouldn't be able to do so many things. So they had put, you know, different types of basically sticks and, you know, different types of levers basically that you could use to grab things. And that was just to demonstrate, you know, what ability or limitation you would have if you did not have a thumb, if you did not have, you know, five fingers, if you did not have two hands. And subhanAllah, you know, on the surface, it seemed like, yeah, I can easily pick this object up with these two, you know, levers. But when you actually tried, it was so hard. It was so difficult. So we take our body for granted. This is an ataa. This is a bestowal, a generous gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really, we don't realize what a blessing health is until some of it or a lot of it is taken away from us. Then we realize what a huge blessing health is. That at times you have a whole list of things to do and you want to do those things, but your body is not all there. You're not able to use your body. You feel crippled. You feel so weak. So health, your body, its functions are a blessing, ata from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's amazing how we're so focused on, you know, how our body looks, so we're constantly complaining. I'm too short. My legs are not long. You know, this is the problem with my body. This is the problem with my face. This is the problem with my nose. And this is the problem with my skin tone. And we're so focused on you know, finding fault and complaining that we don't value the gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So Allah al-Mu'ti, He gives ata, and part of that is that He has given every creature its form. And then he bestows in the world, and He also bestows in the hereafter. We see that in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a lot of gifts to His slaves. And in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the righteous servants that udkhulu al-jannah, to enter Jannah. فَمَا رَأَيْتُمُوهُ فَهُوَ لَكُمْ. And whatever that you see belongs to you. Anything that you see in Jannah, right, in your Jannah, that is yours. You own it. You are the king. This is your kingdom. So they will say, رَبَّنَا أَعْطَيْتَنَا مَا لَمْ تُعْطِي أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. That our Lord, You have given us what You have not given to anyone from among the worlds. So each person in Jannah will think that he has the best. He or she has the best. فَيَقُولُوا. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, لَكُمْ عِنْدِي أَفْضَلُ مِنْ هَذَا. I have something for you that is even better than all of this. So they will wonder, what could be that which is better than all of this? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, رِضَايَ فَلَا أَسْخَطُ عَلَيْكُمْ بَعْدَهُ أَبَدًا. My approval, so I will never be upset with you ever again. Allahu Akbar. This is the ata that we should be aiming for. That, Ya Allah, You bestow Your approval on me. Ya Allah, You be pleased with me. So that I never do anything that would displease You, and You would never be displeased with me. This is the ata that we should be striving towards. And you know, this body that Allah has given us, this ata that Allah has given us, this life that He has given us, is only a means of earning that great ata. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mu'ti, what is it that we should do? It means that first of all, we should depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trust Him, because He knows what to give and when, And when he keeps something from you, through that also he is actually giving you. Right? When we look at the prophets of Allah, we see that they experienced loss in the world. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he only one child of his survived him, only one daughter. All of his other children died in his lifetime. So if, for example, a person does not have children or is no longer able to have children, or there is loss of children, this is indeed extremely painful. But realize Allah is the manir and he is the murti. So even though he has prevented, you know, something from me, in fact, this is an opportunity, this is a means through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. So be pleased with him. In a hadith we learn, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may he be miserable. Ta'isa abdu dinar wa dirham. That may the worshipper of the dinar and the dirham be miserable. Worshipper of dinar and dirham, who is he? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that in u'tiya radiya. If he is given something, then he is happy. Wa illam yu'ta lam yardi. And if he is not given something, then he is not happy. And he is only happy when he is given what he wants. Such people, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed against them. So don't be greedy. Don't be greedy. Be content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decisions. Yani be happy, right? This doesn't mean that you don't seek more, you don't desire more. You have the right to desire whatever that you want, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to give you, right? Of course, as long as it's a lawful desire. But the main thing is that whatever that Allah gives you, be pleased with that. Don't be obnoxious and greedy. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mu'ti, this means that we should adopt the right ways in receiving Allah's bestowal. In a hadith we learned that innallaha rafiqun yuhibbu ar-rifq wa yu'ti 'alayhi ma la yu'ti 'ala al-'unf. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is compassionate, he loves compassion, and he gives for compassion and gentleness what he does not give for harshness. Meaning when you're gentle with people, then Allah will give you what he will not give you if you were to be harsh with them. When Allah is al-mu'ti, it means that we should be generous as well. We should also give. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that hands are of three types. There are three kinds of hands. Al-aydi thalatha. And then he explained that Allah's hand is the upper one. فَيَدُ اللَّهِ الْعُلْيَا. Because everything comes from Allah. He is always giving and we are always receiving. So, يَدُ اللَّهِ الْعُلْيَا. And then, وَيَدُ الْمُعْطِي الَّتِي تَلِيهَا. The hand of the mu'ti, meaning the person who gives, is the one that is near the hand of Allah. And then وَيَدُ السَّائِلِ السُّفْلَى. The hand of the beggar is the lowest one. So basically what we are encouraged to do over here is that we should be a giver. Don't always be begging, asking, demanding, right? Be the giving one. Because when you give, then you are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is it that we call upon Allah through these names? We see that in salah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would get up from ruku', he would say, Allahumma rabbana lakal hamd, mil' as-samawati wa mil' al-ardi wa ma baynahuma wa mil' ma shi'ta min shay'in ba'du. Ahla al-thana'i wal-majd, la mani'a lima a'tayt wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at wa la yanfa'u dhal-jadd minka al-jadd. That Allah, our Lord, to you be the praise that would fill the heavens and the earth and that which is between them and that which will please you besides them. Worthy are you of all praise and glory. No one can withhold what you give or give what you withhold, and the greatness of the great avails not against you. And after every fard salah, so for example, you pray the four rak'ah of dhuhr, then after that, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. So these are du'as that we should try to memorize, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say them after ruku' on getting up, and also after saying the after performing the fard prayer. So for example, you say the salam, you say Allahu Akbar, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. And then you can say this. And then you can continue with your other adhkar and du'as. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.